Ben Hey Omer. Lefum Tzara Agra. According to the suffering is the reward. That was the name. So the Rambam explains. The Rambam says, Lefima Shetitzkayar B'Torah Yiyaschacha. In accordance with the amount of pain that you have from Torah, that's how much your reward will be. V'omru, they said, that the only thing that's going to remain is the knowledge that you learn with the tremendous amount of effort and fear from the teacher and the Rebbe. Avo kriyas ha-tainug, but just enjoyable reading, va-menucha and relaxation, ein kiyumla. There is no, it doesn't last. The knowledge that's gained that way through relaxation and through enjoyment that has no kiyum, has no existence. Velo to elasba, and there is no benefit in it. Vamur b'firish ma'amaro, an explanation of this mimer, they said, af chokmasi andale. What does it mean? Af chokmasi andale. It means chachma shalamarti ba'af andale. The chachma, the wisdom that I learned with an anger. It means aggressively. That stood by me. And it may say, and because of this, tziva lahatil emo ala tamidim. Therefore they commanded, Chacham said that a Rebbe should impose fear on the tamidim. Vamru, and they said, zrok mora b'tamidim. Throw a fear into the Talmud. It means that the Talmud should sense, should have a sense of the Rebbe's obligated to make the Talmud have a certain fear, sense a certain fear. And if he doesn't do that, then he doesn't fulfill his job as a Rebbe. An interesting thing. It has to be a fear. He has to impose a fear on the Talmud. And if he doesn't do that, then he's not creating the situation, the proper situation for him. He's too friendly, he's too nice. You know that. So, on the surface, the Mishnah isn't really that difficult. The Mishnah is stating something which is logical, makes sense, means learning, you can't. Learning requires tremendous effort. And according to the strain, the emotional strain that the person experiences, the stress, the effort that he expends, in direct proportion will be the benefit, the gain, the profit from the learning. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that if a person learns in that manner, then it's Talmud HaMeskayin. So the Chachma remains with him. But if he leans back and he just relaxes and he tries to absorb knowledge in that manner, so it will not remain with him. Not only that, he says it's worthless. The Mishnah of Kachi Darka Shel Torah is really giving some of the details that's understood. It's telling you that Pas Melach Tocha Valoret Tishon. I mean, Nimata Osakin Ashrecha Vato. It is the Maim and the Surah Tishta. You shouldn't eat. You shouldn't drink. That's really. I mean, that's giving a picture. It's giving a picture of the of what exactly is meant by this Mishnah. It's more. It's even more. It's giving you a vivid description. And what it means. He says, aim by and tell us there's no benefit in such a learning. Why is there no benefit whatsoever? The Rambam seems to say, so the Rambam is in Rambam's Nukhas Tamatar, Perek Dalet. So the Rambam says that, so the Rambam explains that the Talmud is always obligated to, the Talmud should never be shy. And he should ask even many times. And if the Rebbe gets angry at him, he says he should try to appease the Rebbe. Try to appease him. Say, Rebbe, Tari Vulma Ansar, the Daitik Tzara. So then he says, then the Rambam says, and he says that he shouldn't be ashamed because of his contemporaries, because of his peers. And therefore the Rambam say, Ena Baishan Lomed, Vala Kabda Malamed. A person that by nature is a kabdan isn't a good teacher. He's too tough. Okay? So he says, "Bamed varma morim." The Rambam says, "Bisman shlo evina talmidim adavar mipnei omko mipnei daitan shikitzar." When do we say that the Rebbe shouldn't be tough? Is if they didn't understand it because it's very deep, or because they don't have the ability to grasp it? It's too abstract for them. Avolim nikkel rav shemis rashlim b'divrei Torah. But if the Rebbe sees that what? That they're being lazy about divrei Torah, u'misrapin aleihen. It means that they're taking it easy. They're relaxing. U'lefichach la'evina. That's why they don't understand. Chayev lirgoz aleihen. U'lach limon b'dvorim. He's mechuyif to get angry at them and to embarrass them. Kidei l'chadadam. In order to sharpen them. So kinyan zemach hachamim zrok mora b'talmidim. Throw a fear in the talmidim. Lefichach ein roi l'rav minog kalas rosh lifnei talmidim v'lo lisfak lifneihem v'lo lecho v'lishtos imoyem kidei shetei ein maso aleihem v'yumadu mimenu b'mhera. So therefore the Rebbe should not really associate with talmidim in a way that he shouldn't eat with them, drink with them, he shouldn't do any of these things. Why? Because these things tend to remove that awe. There must be an awe. That's what they're not. That's based on law. It means to say that a Rebbe that doesn't instill awe, when the Talmidim see him, if there's no awe, so then there's no, that's not a situation for Lima Torah. That's what the Rambam says. Okay. So the Rambam even goes so far as to say that learning which is done in a relaxed state, where a person just wants to sit back and enjoy it, so the Rambam says there's no toelus. It's simply worthless. Worthless learning. Interesting thing. I'm going to say you learned something incorrect. You learned something. You got an idea. He says it's worthless. Well, why should we say it's worthless? Why should it be worthless? I mean, I could understand if you could say, well, look, I mean, on one hand, you could ask yourself, yes, that type of limud doesn't lead to a real understanding. It's not an in-depth kind of limud. But he's relaxing, he's enjoying himself, he's relaxing, there's no pain. Limud, according to this Mishnah, from Tzaira Agra, what does it mean? It means there must be pain. A person must be able to tolerate, in order to become a Talmid Chacham, a person must have the ability to tolerate pain. If he doesn't have the tolerance for pain, he'll never become a Talmid Chacham. That's basically what the Mishnah says. The more pain he can tolerate, the greater the Talmid Chacham. It happens to be true, by the way. I mean, this happens to be true. The reason why in Europe you produce so many lumber and not in America is because of the fact that in the European mentality they were able to tolerate tremendous amount of pain. It was not a mentality where the people were pampered. Not a pampered mentality. America's a pampered mentality. Very hard to produce some of the pampered because they can't take the suffering. You have to be able to suffer pain. You have to know what it means to work on a svara. To work on a svara means it's tough. It means it has to really bother the person. He has to be willing to put in tremendous effort and willing to go for it no matter what. And you have to have that kind of a mentality. The European yeshivas, you saw it. The European yeshivas, and I don't mean only necessarily European yeshivas, it doesn't matter where it is. I saw it in, for instance, in Lakewood. And in Lakewood, you're able to see some stuff. You saw it. They knew what it meant to work on a sorrow. It was from Europe, basically. It was carried over from Europe. He used to say, Da Farvin. Haravanya. That word meant something. It had a certain emotional feeling to it. I mean, you have to, when they say, I don't know if it's true, they said that Moshe would never sit on a, Moshe said the Wadi Shtag because he never leaned on the back of the chair. It means to say there has to be that mental attitude. You have to have that attitude. It's true. You never see. Truth of the matter is, it's very tough to create such a thing in later life. It's one of those things that's important that the child has to be raised with. It's to know what it means at an early age. To be able to direct it. That's the Fumsai Rabram. The problem you have with the Rambam is, if you read his introduction, the 8th Prakim, so there is a contradiction between this Mishnah, or the way he explains this Mishnah, and the way he explains the sixth perek, where he brings in this very Mishnah in a totally different framework. Totally different framework. Okay? And I'll spell it out for you. I'll show you the question. It's the well-known perek shishi, sixth perek, where the Rambam asks the question about who is greater. He says, who is greater? A person who naturally desires the good. A person gets up in the morning, he loves to learn, hates to waste his time, doesn't want to be vicious towards anybody, doesn't want to get even with anybody. He's friendly, he's happy, he wants to do the good. He naturally wants to do the good. To him, life is a dream, and he just goes through life with just total enjoyment, total pleasure. Okay? Such a person, or a person on the contrary. He really has desires. He gets up in the morning, he's full of desires to do things that are not right. But he controls himself. He has tremendous self-control. And he exercises control over his emotions, and he sits and learns all day. As hard as it is, he sits and learns all day. So, who is a greater type? Who's a greater type? Or a person who simply has no desire for instinctual gratifications on the whole. Not into the world of the instincts, all right? Or a person on the contrary. A person like Yisrael Tzadik, he was overcome by an instinctual desire, but he was covetous Yisro. Okay? Or the person on the contrary doesn't have his mind in that area. His mind is in learning. Who's greater? So that's the old question. So in the world, it's the one that's considered greater is the one that has the most pain. That's usually what people say. And it's funny, but there was a Goyish philosopher who asked the same question, and that was his conclusion. That the one that suffers is greater, because he went through more pain. But the person who just gets up in the morning, he's just easy, it's a breeze for him. He learns, he has no typhus, he doesn't have no distractions. Such a person, you think, that he doesn't, why should he get rewarded? Yeah, he has reward already. He has enjoyment during his entire lifetime. But no, the Rambam says just the opposite. The one that has the greater reward is the one for whom it's easier. The one for whom it's easier. But the Rambam concludes that that's the case. He says the philosophers have shown that is correct. Has to be correct logically, because reward is not something that God gives a person in place of something else. That's a childish idea. That it's for a child, that's the way it says. The child controls himself, the parent rewards him. The more the child controls himself, the more the parent rewards him, because the more the child went out of his way to help the parent. So the parent appreciates it. But that's not the way God works. The way God works is, the one that gets the reward is the thing which is deserved by the soul. In other words, the good soul, if the soul is on a higher level, so then it naturally attains a greater state of being. And a greater state of being is a greater reward. In other words, the reward is not an external thing. The reward is intrinsic. Now, a soul that is on a higher level naturally partakes of the good to a greater degree. So therefore, the soul which loves Torah, which loves ideas, which loves Chachmah, so that soul is on a higher level. A soul which despises it, but even though it forces itself, that's fine, but that's not the same level. So it can't partake of the same good. It partakes of the good. It doesn't, you see, it is attached to the good in a sense, but it's attached to the good with a conflicting element. So it's logical, and you can't deny it, that if there's a conflict, you can't say the attachment is great. So therefore, even though the person is undergoing tremendous pain and is able to control themselves, but the mere fact that they have to control themselves implies clearly a conflict with regard to the good. So the relationship of the soul to the good is a conflicted one, even though the side that wants it is greater, obviously, because the person has controlled himself. But still, it's conflicted insofar as its relationship to the good. And since the reward that God gives man is not like a... It's not like a parent gives a child, it's a different thing altogether. It's based upon the relationship of the soul to the good. So the soul that has no conflict has to, by definition, be more closely related to the good, because that's what it wants. So by necessity, you have to say that soul actually reaps a greater reward, because it partakes of the good to a greater degree. So it partakes You see, you have to understand that the and it's a little bit of philosophical, but it's a little bit metaphysical, but I don't think it's something that you can't understand. And that is that the that man has two kinds of existence. There's an existence that man has, which is from his instinctual part, and there's a different kind of existence that his soul has when the soul partakes of the world, the eternal world of the ideas. So insofar as it partakes of that eternal world, so then its existence is more real. Because the existence of the physical instinctual is an existence like an animal's existence, which is the world of the temporal. But the existence of the, insofar as the world of Chochmah is concerned, that area is eternal. There's no change in that area. So insofar as the soul is attached to that area, it partakes of true existence to a greater degree. So if it's conflicted vis-a-vis that area, so then it can't be partaking of existence to that degree. Whereas where it wholeheartedly partakes of that area, so it partakes of existence to a greater degree. And that's really what the reward is. The reward is a partaking of existence. Rambam explains this in Sanhedrin. Partaking of existence to a higher degree. The more that it partakes of existence, the greater is the reward. Of course, the enjoyment is an enjoyment that attends this type of existence. But the existence is the barometer. So that's why you must say, where there's a conflict, it doesn't partake of that existence to the same degree. There's no way out of it. I mean, logically, you have to say that. So the Rambam's satisfied to accept that idea, even though it goes against the person's emotions, because the person always wants to feel, well, I worked so hard, I want to get a reward. That's a natural feeling a person has. But philosophically, that's not true. Philosophically, that's not true. As much as a person wants it to be that way, it's philosophically, that's not the case. That the person that worked harder doesn't always, that's a work effort. The person that worked harder gets a greater reward. This is not true. It's a nice idea, but it's not true. The person that partakes of the good, he has the greater reward, to the greater degree. So the working harder, the one that worked harder, must partake of the good, actually, to a lower degree. So he can't get the reward. Bothers a person emotionally, that's not fair. But fairness is really the idea of fairness that we have as a childish nature. You have to, in the philosophical world of reality, it doesn't play any role. This is the way it is. This is reality. Yes. The fact that the soul... Because the excess baggage is what the problem is. Because it's impossible for a person to be involved in the good to the same degree if he's simultaneously conflicted. It's impossible. In other words, if a person is conflicted, it wasn't in conflict. It means the energies are divided. That's what a conflict is. Conflict means the division of energies. So therefore, the one that's conflicted, the energies can't be involved to the same degree. It's impossible. So the function of the soul has to be impeded by the conflict. Must be. No other way. The soul only functions by the energy is what fires the soul, what keeps the soul operating. It needs fuel. What's the fuel? And now, if it's conflicted, so the fuels are split up. So the function of the soul has got to be split up. Can't be otherwise. The Christian is a childish notion. They have a philosophical idea, so therefore they said the other way, that the harder you work, the more you get rewarded. This is philosophically unsound. Yes. I mean, you're right. I mean, you have to say that some people are more fortunate than others in terms of their disposition, in terms of their makeup, and that's something a person, a mature individual, has to learn to accept. But that's the way it is. A person has to accept the fact that there are limitations, and each person has his own... is born with his own particular abilities and shortcomings, and you have to accept that. And you have to accept that. You have to work within your own framework. But just because somebody else has a better framework than you, shouldn't disturb you, because your life should be totally around what you are. What the other person has nothing to do with you. That's what the one that says do. It's losses ava. You shouldn't be envious. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be envious. But you have no right to dictate what your reality is. God gave you this reality. That's all you have to be concerned with. Why he gave somebody else a better reality? That's not a person. That's not a human affair. That's God determines who he gives what. It's not for man to go into. God can create a, can make a creature. Malach is greater than us. So we'll all sit around all day, feel bad. Why are we not Malach? Doesn't make any sense. So Yad just demands a person has to accept this. He shouldn't sit around dreaming about what would be if he was this one, if he was that one. That's just an egoistic, emotional kind of involvement. It's a waste of time. Yes. So the Rambam says, says that's all very nice, but when we started to investigate the words of the Chachamim in this area, he says it comes out just the opposite. It comes out that the one that has more taiva for Averis, he's greater than the one that has less taiva. He says, he says like this. He says that Ashiyad and Yosef Chosh Yosham Tia Yosef. As a matter of fact, they said that the one that they said the one that is more perfected has more of a taiva. Vitztaro banachosim Yosegod, and he has more pain when he keeps away from the taivas. He says they said one thing. They said is called a godel mechaveri or godel meno. Number one, the lo dayam zeh. Not only that, but they said sheschar hamoshel benafsho godel if he rove tzaro b'mashlo benafsho. He says that the man that how much reward does a person get? He gets reward according to his tzaro, according to his pain. V'amru l'fum tzaira agra. That's our Mishnah. Okay, so they said according to the pain, that's how much the gain is. So if that's the case, so you see on the contrary that the more pain and the more pain, the greater the individual, the greater the yosem is in, and even more than this, they said a third thing. They said you should not say that I by nature don't want to do this avera. And they said the person shouldn't say I don't want to eat basa b'chalav. Shouldn't say I don't want to eat the chaza. I don't want to put on shatness. If she love all ever, I don't want to have sexual relations with this person. Ella if she, I do want to do it. Umayasa, what could I do? Avishu b'shamayim, gazal what? God said I can't do it. Okay. So he says, and according to the superficial understanding of these texts, it would seem to be it's a contradiction to what we said. He says, but that's not the case. He says they're both true, and there's no argument at all. And he says like this. He says why? He says because there are two kinds of evil. He says one kind of evil is what the philosophers consider evil, philosophical evil. He says, and this over in that case, he says, the one that has no desire for philosophical evil is greater than the one that has a desire for philosophical evil. And he controls himself. He's greater than that person. He says, and what are these things? These are things that people all know about, like murder, desire to kill, to steal, to cheat, to damage, to do evil to someone, to repay evil for good, to embarrass parents, all these kind of things. A person has these desires, so then he can't be, even though he controls himself, he is not on the level of a person who naturally doesn't have these desires. He's naturally perfected. So this is called mitzvahs, what the Gemara says in Yuma. Gemara in Yuma says, things that ilulon nichtavu royally kosva. Gemara says in Yuma that there are certain things that even if the Torah didn't write them, they should have been written. What does it mean? It means a philosophical perfection. Here's a person, Socrates. Socrates studied philosophy, and he came to the conclusion that there are many things that are considered good, which in his mind it would be proper to call mitzvahs, and that's what the Torah agrees, those things the Torah has. And the Torah says, those are that's true, that's correct. It's right, even if the Torah didn't write it, it's right. Without God giving Moshe Rabbeinu this, the making a mitzvah out of it, it's still good. Okay? So he says, but the things that the Chachamim said, that a person is Kovashis Yitzro, and in that case, the person that's Kovashis Yitzro is better, and his reward is greater. He says, these are the things that the Torah taught us. A different group of things that the Torah taught us. Without the Torah, we wouldn't know that they're good. He says, and those things are the chukim. Those things are the chukim. Shel mole a Torah lo yiros klal. If it wasn't for the Torah, there wouldn't be evil at all. He says, and because of that, interesting statement, that the Chachamim said that a person must allow his soul to love them. If he stops his soul from loving them, that's an imperfection. The lo yiyelo moneya mehen rakatara. He says the only thing that should stop him is the Torah. But if he becomes too from, if he feels emotionally a dislike for these things, then it's an imperfection. The contrary, that's an imperfection. Right? Yeah. Every believer, they always feel there's some kind of superiority in disliking those things like chazer and ruchel. They feel. It comes out in more subtle ways in more sophisticated people, but down deep there's this very strong feeling. If the Torah said it's wrong, you have to really feel something against it. Okay. That's what the Rav would relegate to homo religiosus, to religious man. Religious man has that kind of a feel. The Rambam in the country says that this is where the person is supposed to allow his soul to enjoy. Allow his soul to enjoy. What kind of message is that? Oh, this thing. Shehem lo amru al yoma odom yifshi laro ganefesh. They never said that a person shouldn't say. Yifshi laro ganefesh. I don't want to kill somebody. That they never said. A person said, I don't want to kill somebody. No, on the contrary. Over there, you should say, I don't want to kill anybody. If she ligno, you say, I don't have any desire to steal. If she lachaze, I don't want to lie. Contrary, if a person would say that he wants to lie, then he would be considered evil. But in those cases, Chazal said that the perfection is where the person is a yifshi. That's what a perfection is. I don't want to lie. I don't want to do that. He says, but where did they say it? They said about basar b'chalav. Okay. Shatnez and arayas. Those areas. Interesting. The elor mitzvahs of yotzu b'hen heim asher kor mashem yizbar chukos. Lom razal chukim shechokakti loch ein loch harushif lahar b'ayam. Vov dekachov meshim alayim. Vasot mekatrig men kagam paradama. Vasoy mishalech. Okay. Vashekoro samacharonim sichlios. Mitzvah sichlios. He doesn't like that term, but anyway. Yikru mitzvahs. He says that the later people that weren't real philosophers, they call the mitzvah sichlios. Shouldn't be called mitzvah sichlios. He says he calls them mitzvahs. The sichlios means where you... What? Ine is baraloch mikol masha amarno. Ezen min ha'averos yiyen mishilo yishtokek aleihem yosa choshuvin ha'mishtokek aleihem. The kovesh yisrael. Ezen min yoyin bepach. The zeh chiddush niflai. So this is an astounding chiddush. V'hamit shnei ha'mamora. U'lashon ha'mora ala mitas masha b'yarno. He says, and their language shows clearly the truth, demonstrates the truth of what we have explained. Okay? That's what the Rambam says. So now, what is the meaning of the Mishnah when it says, and that was the Mishnah you mentioned, Lefum Tzaira Agra. Let's explain it to me, what does it mean? That according to the pain, the suffering, that's how much the person benefits. That's how much his schar is. So what does it mean? What does it mean? It means syllogus. If two people walk by a pot of, two people walk into a restaurant, and they both smelly, baking the eggs, and one person doesn't have a desire for it. And the other person desires it, he wants it, but he controls himself. So who has greater reward? And the second one, the one who controls himself. Okay. Yeah. Why is this a very sharp thing in Ram? Ram says, why is so? He says that the person says, Nezum shtochorim shiyaniach nafsho hevesosim. Shiyaniach nafsho hevesosim. Why should it be nafsho hevesosim? Why should he allow? Why does it have to be that way? She's niach nafsho. What does it mean? Correct. On a philosophical level, yes. Sir. It means to say like this. It means to say that there is a certain perfection in man when he's committed to the, in demonstrating his commitment to the system of Torah. Okay, that's also perfection. That's also perfection. Yeah. But there's more to it than that, really. But the Rambam means like this. The Rambam means that if a person by nature distorts his mind, and he makes himself dislike things that naturally the Teva he should like, it means what he's doing is basically he's making a taboo system out of the Torah. Because that's what he's doing. About. He's saying this is bad. He's saying this is evil. And really it's not evil. It's a total mistake. God never said this is evil. God never said that a chaz is any worse than a cow. So it's a total distortion. He's making a taboo out of the halachic system, and he is imperfecting himself, making himself more imperfect. Because what he's doing is taking the idea of perfection, which means that the mind and the seichel adam should be the guide, and he's making his emotions the guide. And the distortion is distortion of the total of the whole idea of perfection that should emerge from the mitzvah of Torah. The mitzvah is supposed to should lead a person to perfection. In other words, but the way that it's perfected is by doing it as a mitzvah which is done through the tzelem elokim, through the seichel adam. But if he causes himself to dislike it, he's distorting the whole thing. He's saying this is evil. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not evil. So what he's doing is making a taboo out of something. He's invoking a taboo emotion. Taboo emotion is a primitive emotion. It's away from the derech haseichel and the derech haTorah. So that's why the Rambam says, that's the Lashon HaRambam, really. If you look at the Lashon HaRambam, it says, "Menezeh amru shetzorach ha'odam sheyaniach nafsho oheves lasim." He says it right after, "Vezemes shel molei Torah lo hayuros klal." See? Because they really aren't evil, and therefore a person should allow a soul to love these things. He shouldn't change his desires. Because the moment he does, he makes the Torah into taboo. And that's a primitive kind of level. Then he's operating, he's functioning on a primitive level. And the Torah, which really should perfect him, is actually making him worse. That's what Al Yomar Adam, a person shouldn't say this. Because if a person does that, he's destroying the whole idea of Torah. He needs away from the idea of halacha and into the idea of tempo, emotional idea, primitive idea. That's what I'm saying. Okay, yes. Okay, that's a good question. Yeah. It would seem to be that even with regard to Yisuri Biyah, the Rambam says, are you getting the Rambam? The Rambam says that he mentions it the second time, but not the first time. Okay, so the Gemara mentions that Arayos is Arayos, and the Gemara mentions is the mitzvos that even if the Torah wouldn't have written them, that they're fit to be written. Okay, but the Rambam over here mentions Arayos in the other category, contradiction. It says Basav Achalov Levishas Shatnis V'Arayos. Okay, yeah. So the question says it's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. So it's a contradiction. It's a contradiction because the Rambam says that those are the ones he's supposed to say. That the Rambam says those are the ones that a person should tell himself. And on the contrary, yeah, Al Yomar Yesh. And the Gemara says those are the ones that are mitzvos that are mali. It's specifically yes, what he calls mitzvos. Okay. It means to say like that. What it means to say like this. It means that insofar as the involvement, the energy, the amount of energy that go into our riots, certainly any philosopher will tell you, a person whose mind is preoccupied in sexual fantasies, that this is the areas of sex, that this is a low level individual, and this is something that the Torah didn't have to tell you that. Double portion. If a person's mind is involved in the instinctual areas, that shows you a low level of an adam. That's what the Gemara means in humor, it says Arayos. But where it's discussing a person's tendencies, his innate tendency, there's no such thing as perfection or imperfection. That's a natural thing. That's a natural thing, a natural predilection. So therefore, if a person will say that his that because it's his sister-in-law, that that's why he doesn't have any desire for her. So that's not true, because the sexual desire doesn't work, doesn't not based upon those kind of things. So insofar as the, you understand me? So insofar as the attraction of her, the innate attraction of Arias, that there's no, that a person can't undo, a person can't say, what do you call it, I shall say if. That's the nature of the instinctual. Okay? Yeah, and he right. And there's no reason for him to suppress that. There's no reason for him to repress the to deny such a thing. Yes, in the contrary. The HR is good, but I can't do it. Because you are. The Chazal used to say. And Yisrael would be the Bithis, or the Chosi, or the Chazal used to say. But they were honest about it. Yeah, so you see, on the contrary, a person shouldn't deny his natural psychological or psychosexual tendency. That would be denial of reality. But insofar as the energy being placed in these areas, that certainly is an imperfection. That's the answer to the contradiction. The Rambam himself says, "Ein ehurim boyim ala b'leif ponim anachof." In other words, the person's sexual fantasies only happen to a person when he's not involved in chachma. On the contrary, that's the highest perfection, to be involved in chachma, away from sexual. You see, it's impossible. It's no contradiction. It means the specifics, as opposed to the involvement, the endowment of energy in these areas. That's what he's referring to. Not a contradiction. Yeah. If a person would control himself from arias, because of the person controls himself from arias, because of the fact that he's exerting energy to control himself, you can't say that person's on the same level as the person who naturally is not involved in the area. The person who's naturally not involved in the area because he's involved in chachma must be on a higher level, because all his energies are involved in chachma. It's impossible otherwise. Okay. Now the question: Why did I go through this parish? One reason. Rambam over there explains the point Sairaga. Now let me ask you, what about Talmud Torah? In the area of Talmud Torah, where is the greater, more perfection? A person says, if Shiva Talmud Torah, Avalovi Shiva Shemayim Gazar Alai? Or if a person says, no, if she, that's what I want. Who's great? Where is that? Talmud Torah. You got us? There's no choice. You've got to say if she. This is what I want. The person says the if she comes, I don't want it, but I have to do it. I'm forcing myself to learn. That's certainly, I mean, okay, it's a level. Let's not take away any credit from the person. It shows you it's a high level. He forced himself to a very high level. This generation, I don't think too many people on that low level. So it's considered a very high level. But nevertheless, it's not the level, you can't compare it to the level where a person loves to learn. Many times people make a mistake, look at certain goals, and they say, look how they learn all day. Look at them in the first level. So on the contrary, so if she is the perfection. So my question now is a very simple one. That I understand what the Rambam says, that a person shouldn't distort his mind when it comes to areas, and shouldn't that then make him a taboo, when really the perfection there is a commitment to God's Torah. Okay? Fine. But in Talmud Torah itself should be something that the person, that's where you see greatness in man, a person that loves chachma. What could be greater? That's the ultimate perfection of Torah. Anything, the biggest mitzvah of Torah is what? Tefillah according to the Ramban is not Rabbanan. A person never davens in his life. He didn't violate the rest. Doesn't learn. His entire life is right. So learning is that's the ultimate. So in that area, you're going to tell me that a person should say if she is impossible. And yet the Rambam says, precisely in that area, he says what? He says, that's what it means, l'fum tzayra agra. Over here, he says just the opposite. He says, they said l'fum tzayra agra. He says, how could they say that? So he says, no, where is it l'fum tzayra agra? It's only when it comes to chukim. Right? But when it comes to areas of philosophy, where the philosophers determine perfection, which means that any individual is a chacham will see right away that this has to be perfection. he thinks into it, if he's a clear-minded philosophical thinker, he's going to come to the same conclusion as the Torah. In that area, we don't say l'fun tzairaga. And here you have the area of learning Torah itself. It's an amazing thing. Because what does the l'fun tzairaga mean according to the Rambam? After all is said and done, what does it mean? It means to say that the person who experiences the desire is on a higher level, because he's not distorting the idea of the Torah. So you mean to say a person that experiences a hatred for learning, that's a great man. And the person that loves learning, he is the low person. Possible? That can instill fear in the Talmud. Wasn't he fear in the Talmud? Because he loves to learn so much. The Rambam in Perek Shishi, in his Agdama, is using it from Tzaira Agra. He's relegating it to mitzvos that are not what he calls the mitzvos. And over here on the Maimer itself, he says he speaks about the greatest mitzvah sichlius, which is Talmud Torah, and he says that's what he's referring to. Is that a contradiction or not? See, what's disturbing is, here you have a Rishon, here you have a Rambam, who would seem to be contradicting himself in the fact that he's using the Maimar, he's relegating the Maimar to two opposite areas. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you can't say, the Maimar Chazal, logically, the Maimar Chazal has to be referring to A or B. Here the Rambam sets up two groups, Group A, Category A, Category B. Category A is things that you naturally should like. Category B, things that you naturally shouldn't like. Okay? Right? The Rambam in Perek Shishi says, which category does the Lufun Tzairaga belong to? Which of the Lufun Tzairaga belongs to what? Category B, things you don't like. Right? In the Pirushim Mishnayos on this very same member, he says it belongs to things that you should like. To Category A. You know what I'm saying? That's what's disturbing. It's an open contradiction. I think what you have to do over here, in order to answer the question, you have to understand, because there's a misconception when a person reads Perek Shishi. I think there's a misconception when a person reads Perek Shishi. By the way, there's an internal contradiction in Perek Shishi also, because one of them, the first memory he quotes is, "Cholagol mechaver yitzvah lemor," and that's definitely referring to sexual matters, because that was the whole incident over there with Abaya, where Abaya said he wouldn't be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara. That was referring to Arias. So you see Chazal did praise the person that has on the contrary has more desire. So what's the answer? So I think that when a person reads over this Perek Shishi, he gets a wrong impression of what the Rambam is trying to say. He gets the impression that the Rambam is putting up. He's saying the person that is naturally attached to the good, attracted to the good, that he's the great person, and he's putting down the other individual. Sounds like that. I suspect that that's not true. The Rambam really didn't mean it in that way. What am I saying? I mean like this. It says l'fun tzairaga, right? And we said, what does the Rambam seem to be saying over here? It seems to be, it's a barometer. In other words, a person walks by and he smells chazer and he really has desire for it. So the one that has desire is greater than the one that didn't have a desire. Okay, so it's a barometer. Well, let me say, if it bothers you, so then it shows you're on the right level. All right, you're on the right level because you didn't distort your mind. So that's the perfection of Torah. That I understand, but what does it mean, l'fun tzairaga? L'fun tzairaga doesn't explain. Because l'fun means that there's a proportion. It should say, in yesh tzaira, yesh agra. You're telling me a person that walks by, he's devastated, wow, like he's overcome by the chaza. He's greater than the person that just says, that'll be great if I can have it. Or not if I don't like it. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, l'fun tzairaga is a ratio, a proportion. So what does it mean, l'fun tzairaga? So even in the Rambam's interpretation, you have to say that there is a perfection in man that he's able to control the passions and commit himself to perfection. That's what it means l'fun tzairaga. All the Rambam is saying is that a person shouldn't distort his nature when it comes to these areas. That's the negative. But then there's a positive. There's a positive gain. What's the positive gain? L'fun tzairaga means that if a person is in accordance to the commitment, to his ability to commit himself, to be kovei yitzro, to commit himself, That is how, that, according to that commitment, that is how great the gain is. You understand what I mean? In other words, there is a tremendous perfection in a person's kedushas hayetzer, a person's control. And the ability of man to go against his passionate nature because of a commitment to the truth, that ability to withstand the pain is a mark of greatness in man. And that's what it means, l'fum tzaira agra. And how do you measure it? This greatness in man is measured by his ability to withstand pain. That's a greatness in Adam. Greatness in Adam is that no matter how powerful the instinct is, that he could still live in line with the truth, that is godless Adam. It's a greatness in man. See, the Rambam isn't really putting down. The impression you get from Rambam in Perek HaShishi when you walk away is that the Rambam is putting down the person that controls himself. Not putting down. On the contrary, the Rambam does not deny that part of man is the godless Adam. But that still doesn't mean when you're speaking about the greatness of the soul. The greatness of the soul, there you're speaking about a different kind of, that's a philosophical question. Which soul is greater? The soul insofar as it's attracted to the good, or the soul insofar as it has a conflict? Okay? Definitely the soul that insofar as it's attracted to the good is greater. But the tuna, the nature of man, his ability to, in spite of the opposition, to stick with the truth, with emes, and to live according to emes, that is godless Adam, and that greatness of man, that's what it means by Lefum Tzaira Agra. That's it. What the Rambam means is that the Lefum Tzaira Agra has to be expressed on a base, essentially, it must be expressed on a base of in a base situation where the person naturally desires something, and where the person doesn't distort his desire and make a taboo out of it, then there's no place for this perfection to be expressed. In other words, there's a backdrop, there's a situation, a backdrop where this greatness has to be expressed. And if a person distorts himself, then he never expresses his greatness. On the contrary, he can't, because it's a taboo. So this whole, when the Torah, mitzvos, that's what the Chazal say. He says, "Ein l'chor reshus l'har b'han." Means you can't think about them, you have no right. It means, say, no matter what, even though you don't understand this, even though you don't understand this idea, but there's a, and the taiva, it means to say the taiva is attracting you, but the Torah demands that you express the godless Adam, and that is, you know that it's true, because God said so, and therefore, because you know it's true, Ram's not putting it down. Catch it. He's just saying that that aspect of human perfection cannot be found if you're going to distort the Torah and you're going to make everything into a taboo, then you'll never experience that aspect. Okay? But that aspect in man certainly shows what the level of Adam. That's really Bechira. What is that? That's really Bechira. That's free will. How are we different than an animal? An animal must follow the instinct. The instinct is strong enough, he must follow it. Every animal trainer knows that it knows always have to feed the animal. Because once the instinct is too powerful, he can't. So it's always a matter of reward. But by man, no matter how powerful it is, the godless Adam is expressed in the fact that he sticks to the emes. It's also the Yeshiva Tzadik. Okay? Now what the Rambam's saying is like this. See? The Rambam says you could see the greatness of Chazal because they never said Altomer Eifshi Barigas and Afish. Because if they would have said that, then they would have been expressing, when they're speaking categorically, they were very careful in the category they chose. You see, Sar Chazir, the Basu Chalav, the Shatness, all these things. They were careful because they didn't want to distort the idea. If they said Altomer Eifshi Barigas and Afish, so then they're going to imply that a person, the whole greatness of man is the fact that he suffers. That's a gayish idea. It's against the Torah. It's a primitive idea. So what they said was, they said Al-Tomar Yifshi in certain areas. In the areas of Chukim, they said. But there is no question about it. As you said before, insofar as human life is concerned, it's impossible for a human being to have a situation during his lifetime where he's constantly attracted to the good. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist in human life. It doesn't exist. Human life is not good. And if a person doesn't have the ability of Klishas HaYetzer, that characteristic, then he could never attain perfection. Impossible. The Rambam is speaking categorically. Philosophically, categorically, it's correct that a person, there's no question about it, that insofar as the soul is operating in a way that it enjoys every moment and there's no conflict, that is the soul operating par excellence. That's the height of perfection. But if in the instances, the varying instances of human life, it's impossible for a person to live through a human life without having his emotions attract them, even in the areas where the soul is supposed to be involved for its own sake. And if that were the case, so then we'd be looking down at Yisrael Tzadik. Nobody's beginning Yisrael Tzadik. You see, on the contrary, that he had to control himself as a covetous Yisrael. That's the example he gives. Covetous Yisrael. So Yisrael Tzadik was on a low level. What's the answer? The answer is the ability for Klishas HaYetzer is something which you cannot do without. If a person doesn't have that, then he simply can't perfect himself. But now when we speak about perfection per se, in abstract, no question about it, where is the soul functioning to the greatest degree? That's where the soul is completely involved, without conflict. No question about that. But insofar as perfection of man on a practical level, without Klishas HaYetzer, there's no such thing as perfection. Even in the areas where the soul is supposed to naturally enjoy and benefit, like in Talmud Torah. That's what the Rambam says. So why does the Rambam say which is the greatest area that a person should love? Okay, where the person should be involved in without conflict to the highest degree. Nevertheless, why does the Rambam say over there? What's the reason? The reason is because the Fum Tzairago, the Rambam, the mistake that you walk away with, you just read Perek Shishi, is, again, like I say, he's like putting down the Kavish Yisrael. Not putting down the Kavish Yisrael. Not at all. In practical terms, Kavish Yisrael is the most powerful force in man, and it's responsible for his greatness. And it's not a contradiction. There's no contradiction between that and between the idea that the greatness of man ultimately is insofar as he's freely involved in the not a contradiction. But what the Rambam is telling you, what did Ben Hehe say from Tzairago? He said like this, he said a very simple thing. He said, Klishas HaYetzer is perfection of man. Without that, we can have anything. Now, where do you reap the greatest benefit? That's where you reap the greatest benefit. Why? Because the greatest benefit is always in the area that's the greatest area. So he says that when a person naturally, that's what Aram says, when the Talmud naturally are Misrashel, because a person by nature has to be a Misrashel, that's the way human nature is, so then that's where the Klishas HaYetzer has the greatest schar, because that's the greatest area. And Klishas HaYetzer gains the greatest reward is when he has Klishas HaYetzer precisely in that area. Which means where he's able to, no matter how difficult it is, he's able to control his laziness and expend the energies and go through the pain of working. And that's what Rambam means, there's no Tolos. What he means is if a person just relaxes, there's no Tolos. Why? Because the whole Tolos of Talmud Torah is where it becomes a part of the person. That's really the Tolos. The person just relaxes easily and just enjoys an idea. That's not Tolos. What does it mean it's not Tolos? It means not Tolos insofar as the perfection of man is concerned. That's what it means. The Fum Tzaira Agra, when Ben Hehe mentioned the Fum Tzaira Agra, that's what he meant. He meant that where is the real Tolos? The real Tolos of the institution of Klishas HaYetzer is expressed in Talmud Torah. And if a person is a Misrashel in that area, he could never, he just simply relaxes. There's no real Tolos, there's no real benefit to the Gavra. It's an idea that went through part of his, went through his mind, never mind. But in terms of making him into a gavra that's a chacham, a gavra that's a ben Torah, he'll never attain it. You see? No contradiction. Correct. There's the abstract state, if we're speaking from a philosophical, abstract point of view, there's no question. that insofar as the soul desires the good, that's how perfection it is. But in the practical, but there's another greatness in man. The other greatness in man, and that's expressed through chukim, the commitment to the truth. I know it's true. That's why I'm committed to it, even though all my desires are against it. That's a perfection of creation. Where is that over there? It's lafum tzaira agra. It means as much. The greatness of man is always going to be expressed in his capacity, in that ability. You want to know where the greatness of man is? It's that ability. That ability to control the passions, no matter how great, and to stick to the emes, to stick to the truth. That's the barometer, it's the measuring rod of the perfected individual. You can tell how much perfection of the soul is going to attain by his capabilities in that one area. To withstand the pain and to only be with the truth. That when you really you imagine it's putting down the covetous yitzra, saying, yeah, that's not such a great thing. Maybe to just enjoy the fun. That's very nice. You know where? Olam Haba. Olam Haba, that's awesomeness. But to deny, to say that a person's life is just going to be an enjoyable experience, even in the area of learning, he's not going to. I'll prove it to you. Who could be the greater chacham than Shlomo Melech? Right, it's the greatest chacham. What do you say? Even the greatest chacham means a chachma shalamadati ba'af. It means that all the chachma that I gained was only because I had that ability not to be Miss Rachel and to force myself to invest my energies into chachma when I wanted to be lazy. That's what it means. Imagine. Then you get the view in terms of the practical. The Raman Parashishi speaking in terms of philosophical. That's why, by the way, there's no contradiction as far as why he quoted called a Gola Mechavaris and Gola. Because he meant, the Gemara says that's when Abaye was out of the realm of learning, so he would have fallen prey to a taiva. That's what Gemara says, called a Gola Mechavaris and Gola Meno. On the contrary, that here you see the greatness of the man, that he has all this energy, and yet he really invests it in learning. That's the godless auto. But when he's not learning for us, and he's in danger like anybody else, that's the practical life. Let me say it plain and simple, that in order for a person to really become a lama, it's his ability. The underlying thing is his ability to withstand. Can't withstand the kiyum. The kiyum nefesh, the ultimate kiyum nefesh in terms of enjoyment of the chacham, that's the kiyum nefesh. But to get there, you have to have that power, that ability. The way it's kind of like this: that the Rambam, when the Rambam is in Perek Shishi, is not putting down, like I said, the Kovei Shishitro. He's just saying that the Kovei Shishitro will always function against the backdrop of where the person has desire, and that's why you see, and that's why Chazal used those instances when they said Al Tomar Yifshi, because if they would have meant like people think they meant it, the more pain you suffer, the greater tzaddik you are, because you're always sitting in the contrary. So you shouldn't say only these things. Why should you say these things? They should have mentioned Al Tomar Yifshi Berigas and Nefesh. You know what I mean? The person should always say that Yifshi Bebitul Torah. You shouldn't say. It's all these other areas. What's the answer? The answer is they were speaking in abstract. So in abstract, they're explaining to you that they're showing you the area in which this perfection takes place. Okay? But this perfection, of course, is not... The perfection can express itself in any area. What Ben-Hei said was... What was Ben-Hei's chiddush? What was his chiddush? His chiddush was like this. That you understand very well how important it is, Krishna Yetzer, this is a very important thing. Alright. But he says, but Lafun Tzaira Agra, I'm telling you that insofar as becoming a London is concerned, that ability is the primary requirement to become a London. That's what he said. That's what the Ram says. Why do you have to say Lafun Tzaira? You understand that the Gemara says, I'll tell me issues. What have you been here for? The answer is, what his Chiddush was, that insofar, and you would think that it only was, that it's a mile, because you keep away from a very ugly. He said that ability is the one that will create, that will make you into the greater one. Precisely that ability is the thing that is necessary. Can't do without it in order to be in the area where you're involved in, where the kiyum is really the total enjoyment. The kiyum is the total enjoyment. But the mice, in order to get there, you must have this ability. that was his chiddush. That's really the matter. I would say like that. I would say that there's two kinds of relaxing. Okay. I would say what it means is that if a person learns in a way where he's just taking it easy, it's worthless. It's worthless because it has nothing to do with the godliness. Doesn't mean it's a waste of time. Any idea is good for a person. But in terms of the perfection of being a chacham, it's not going to help. But it means once a person perfects himself, so he can enjoy the learning. But the enjoyment will be in a state where there's a high energy level. You see, there's a high energy level, but yet he's enjoying it. But it always has to be an energetic thing. In other words, learning where he's sitting back and relaxing and he's sipping lemonade, that's not learning. It means to say why? Because it means that there's not enough of an energy level. See, the learning, even the enjoyable learning, has to be a learning where there's an intensity. Now, at first, it's difficult. At first, the person by nature is lazy. So the person has to, that's what Aram speaks in terms of Talmidim. He's been trying to tell me then. Because you see, in early youth, that's where the person is usually. I mean, that's when he's first starting. So he has some attraction, but he has conflicts. Because by nature, a person doesn't want to spend his energy in learning. So in that time, in that moment, he has to be forced. Zrok Mara B'Talmidim. But later in life, when he enjoys the learning, he doesn't have to necessarily be forcing himself. If he enjoys it naturally, he doesn't have to force himself. But the type of learning it'll be is a different kind of learning. It'll be an energetic learning. Then that kind of learning is valuable. There's a difference between enjoyment, pleasure that a person attains, and a certain relaxed state that people associate with pleasure. You see? But that's just simply laziness. That's not perfection. Let me just clarify the answer again. Apparently, it's not so clear. There's two frameworks here that the Rambam is speaking in. One is the idealistic framework, the ideal framework. And the ideal framework, which is the greater?
Natural flow.
That's for sure. But then there's the practical framework. In the practical framework, you see, in the ideal framework, the person will only experience this kvishus or yetzer when it comes to chukim. That's the ideal framework. When it comes to chukim, he experiences it. When it comes to the other, he doesn't experience it. Okay. So that's the ideal framework. But now in the practical framework, and that was Ben-Hei's Chiddush, that in the practical framework, even the area where the perfection in the ideal framework is a natural kind of a thing, but in the practical framework, it can't be a natural thing, because man by nature isn't that way. So therefore, in the practical framework, you can measure the Talmud Chacham by his ability that he has in the ideal framework where he senses the desire and he has to control himself. That's what Ben-Hei said, really. Ben-Hei's theme, there's two things. There's Ben-Hei's theme, the theme that he's mentioning. The theme that he's mentioning really in the ideal situation exists only by Chazal, by the Chukim. But then in the practical one, Ben-Hei said it in Ovos, the Fung Tzair Agro, what was he saying in Ovos? Trying to teach you an idea in terms of attaining perfection. He said, this ability is the very thing which will give you the perfection. Without this, you can't attain perfection. But in a practical way, there's no contradiction. The theme that he's using is a theme where ideally it's in the framework of chukim, but in practically, its greatest benefit, of course, is expressed practically in the area of mishpatim, of the mitzvahs sechlios. You understand? That's why, that's why the Rambam in Perek Shishi is speaking in ideal terms. That's why he relegates it from Tzaira Agra to the area of Chukim. But Ben-Hei in Avos, where he mentions the theme, he's trying to teach you how to become a perfected person. Practically, that's what Avos is. So that's why he says, this is the thing that's going to make it perfected in the greatest area, which is where? Which is the area of Chachma. Okay? Two different frameworks.